Hello out there, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. What, seven more days? In a week from today, it will be the Labor Day weekend. Where has that summer gone? As you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City with the Labor Day weekend. Lots of events are going on all around town, more than we could possibly work into the program here today, but we're going to talk about several of the events that are going on in connection with the Labor Day weekend. We're going to journey first over to the Just Off Broadway Theater, where our friends at Spinning Tree Theater are presenting the musical Finian's Rainbow. It's not one, boy, I've seen on the stage for a long, long time. You remember the movie? Fred Astaire starred in the movie. Of course, I can't remember if he got nominated for that. He didn't win. He won later on. You could speak up. You don't have to say.
Oh, sure. No, and Francis Ford Coppola directed the movie, and it was Petula Clark.
Yes.
And Fred Astaire.
Can you imagine? Yeah. He went on a few years later to direct the Godfather series.
Right. He did, yes.
But he first was Finian's Rainbow.
Finian's Rainbow,
yeah.
2.
And
yeah.
That's the show that our friend Phil Fiorini is in. He plays the role of Finnegan in the show, and he's here. He's going to tell us all about Finnegan and
Finian,
yeah. And how it works into the show and all of that. And is there really a crock of gold at the end of that rainbow? We'll find out. Probably can't tell that part as well. Phil has a great cast of credits here. He was in with the Kansas City Actors Theater most recently in the show Realistic Joneses. Was at the new theater with George Wendt. Yes, George Wendt from Cheers. Yes, he was. Has recently been involved with the Ensemble Theater of Cincinnati, the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, at the Unicorn Theater, where the first that popped into my mind was his show The Whale, about a person with tremendous overweight issues. And you performed it in is it called a fat suit?
Yeah.
Had to have been difficult.
Suit, yeah.
Was at the new theater in the Addams Family. Yes, patterned after the television show. Well-known cast of characters. And for several years was in the Broadway tour of The Lion King. And on the road for 2 years. That can't have been easy either. So welcome back to Kansas City.
Thank you so
much.
You're
here a lot. Do you live here full time?
Sure. Yeah. No, I think I lived in two places, in Cincinnati and here. I'm going to say that.
Do you work in Cincinnati sometimes as well as working here?
Yes, sometimes, yeah. At this Ensemble Theater of Cincinnati, the Clifton Players I worked at. Yeah.
Well, welcome back, if not only temporarily, to Kansas City.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Joseph Carr is with us as well. He plays the role of Woody. He has appeared in New York City. Yes. Get a rope. In New York City in Richard III. Also, he has done The Pirates of Penzance at the Lyric Theater and with Kansas City Actors Theater in Streetcar Named Desire. Anything you want to add to what I have here?
No, just planting some seeds all over the place. You know,
sure.
We're both kind of people that bounce back and forth, so it's a lot of fun to always come back home to KC.
Well, glad to have you here as well.
Glad to be here.
First of hopefully many appearances on the program.
Definitely.
We'll be hearing from you, of course. Yes, the Spinning Tree Theater. They're rendition of Finian's Rainbow. As I said earlier, not a musical I've seen on the stage around very much. Any feelings on that, Phil?
I think they said, or Michael Grayman Parkhurst, who is our director, and Andrew Grayman Parkhurst is our choreographer director also. They were telling me that the last time they did this show was at Starlight, probably in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not done very much. And then in 2004, the Irish Repertory Theater, they did a revival of it, but did it with two pianos and 13 people. And that was such a success, they revived that in 2016. And that's what Michael had seen and decided that they wanted to do this. And this piece is, in the same time period as Oklahoma, Carousel. Oklahoma was like 1943. Carousel was 45, something in there. And then this was 1947 when this musical was created. And I think it has a lot to do with, the score is just magical. There isn't any score like it. Old Devil Moon.
Those old classics.
Sure. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
People often don't connect the songs with the show. So let's do that for them.
Well, there's Old Devil Moon.
Old Devil Moon, How Are Things in Glaucomora.
Look to the Rainbow. If This Isn't Love. I mean, every song is infectious in some ways. Some are traditional musical theater. Some have an Irish sense to them. We have gospel influence, too,
really
in it.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
In the show, it's a lovely mix of just a whole handful of styles that, that they really pulled off well at the Irish Rep, and then we're sort of bringing to life here as well. So it's very, very cool, very fun.
And I think it's because at the time, Aaron Lane, who wrote the music, and then E.Y. Harburg wrote the lyrics, he was a very involved person in the community and with social issues. And what makes this play, often people have shied away from it, but now we're embracing it in this culture now is because you have themes like an Irish immigrant, Irish immigrants moving to America. Mm-hmm. You have pots of gold. You have leprechauns. However, you have a rather racist senator who's oppressing his people that are working his tobacco farm. You have the onslaught of big business. There's so many themes in this, and they live side by side to one another. You know,
at one time in the history of this nation, yes, the Irish were not wanted.
And
it's amazing. That's exactly right. I suppose a lot of cultures go through that.
Oh, and we cannot believe. I don't know. Joe, every time I listen to the text or the script, there is a line in there that we read in the paper last week. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's something about immigration or something about race relations.
Just more relevant than ever, I think. Some of the issues that are brought up, albeit lightheartedly, I think, in the show. Well, but, you know, there's really definitely a deeper sense of some issues that are glossed over here. So it touches on so much.
And then, and this backdrop of this gorgeous music, that a lot of it has to do with, you know, the whole idea of the rainbow, that we're all chasing some sort of rainbow or some sort of wealth, and we want that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
And that's there, too. So, it's a cool piece. You know,
Performances begin on September 1st and run through the 17th, essentially 3 weeks. Yeah, and you should check with the website, because at least I was confused as to, I know there's a Wednesday performance.
Yeah, we run the 6th through the 17th, Wednesday to Sundays, and then previews start the 1st, that Friday. And then continue on the 2nd and 3rd of that first weekend. So yeah, nearly 3 weeks we're going.
Yeah,
and we're gearing up to be ready to show it here.
Performances will be at the Just Off Broadway Theater, that is in Pin Valley Park, at the very south end. Pin Valley Park, and it's my understanding since the last time I went there, the roads have changed. It's a little easier to get in.
It is. There's a couple ways to get in there, yeah. But, you know, even in that, when I drive down into there, that area, it's very magical looking. It's almost like looking Glockamora.
Well,
you know,
it's in character,
it's a perfect
the
show to do in this area.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of set aside. You know, it's its own little
It's a lovely little space.
Oh, yeah. I guess it was once the horse barn for the police department.
Was it? Okay.
And burned.
Okay. Yeah.
And you see the outside structure, you can still see the basis of
Was there. They left it there,
right.
Like the ruins
And the theater was built inside of that.
Yeah, neat.
So it is said, people have told me, sometimes the spirits of those animals will inopportunity.
Yeah, I have a tendency to want to eat hay while I'm there.
We're trying to curb that behavior, but it's tough.
Yeah, with me.
If it fits
We just sell it.
Yeah.
No one knows better than me how actors are motivated by different things.
Yes.
If that works for you, Phil.
Thank you.
more power to you.
More power indeed.
Yeah.
You can make inquiries, of course, on their website, spinningtreetheater.com, or the phone number. You can call 816-235-6222 to see Finian's Rainbow opening in previews this week. September the 1st. Not that far away.
Nope,
are you all ready?
It's creeping up on us.
We're getting there.
Better every day.
Does the director expect an Irish accent?
Yes.
Pull one out.
Okay. Yes. I'm not going to do it now here because you haven't paid me.
Okay. Well,
but, if you do something well.
No, I have a little bit of one. It's
in
okay.
I'm the unions myself. I understand how this works.
No, I'm...
That's how it was.
Yes, there's a couple Irish accents, and... Yeah. It's fun.
Sort of
it's
a southern twinge.
Southern twinge to, the other folks, to it. So and, yeah. Good,
well, since it's not seen very often, if you haven't seen the Fred Astaire movie with Petula Clark.
Yes.
And directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
I know.
That's historic in and of itself.
Yeah.
He did a very Irish show and then followed that up a few years later with a movie, The Godfather.
Right.
Series of movies. So yeah. A different culture.
A little
still
bit,
not
yeah.
Important, but different.
Yeah.
Right. Don't watch them in order. You get whiplash.
Yeah.
But,
but let's, since it hasn't really been seen, except probably on AMC or perhaps Turner Classic Movies in a while, let's give them the storyline of Finian's Rainbow. And, well, what would you like to say? You are Finian.
Right. And I have decided to come to America with my daughter, Sharon, with, the intentions of becoming wealthy, becoming a millionaire, knowing that America has lots of prosperity.
In opportunity.
The, yes, mm-hmm. And in the course of things, I've stolen a pot of gold from a wee leprechaun.
Uh-oh. They don't like that sort of thing.
No.
He's not thrilled.
They're already temperamental, and then to take what is theirs is not so good.
As I recall, his name is Og.
Og, and that's played by Michael DeCourcy, and he chases them across the seas to get his gold because he's becoming more and more human-like without it, and he doesn't want to be. He wants to stay in the fairyland.
Right.
So he comes upon. Go ahead.
Joe. So yeah, I play Woody in the show, and I've been off helping. At the end, serving at the end of World War II, and I come back because the evil Senator Rawkins is trying to purchase our land of Rainbow Valley for himself, and so I come back to pay off the back taxes and set everything up, and we run into a little bit of trouble, and luckily Finian and Sharon, played by the lovely Elise Paling, I guess. Lend me a little bit is a good way to put it, and we end up paying it off and really connecting with these newcomers to our community and our land. So
and then chaos and comedy ensues,
right?
Song and dance, and of course there's a love story there, what was I going to say? It's set in kind of a mythical land. They put together. I love how they say it's in Missitucky. Not Mississippi, but Missitucky.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's that conflict of the senator trying to buy back this land. He is also does not like the people of color mm-hmm. on the land. He thinks it appreciates the value of the land and wants them to be gone, and doesn't like a pesky immigrant. Who we are,
right,
and
exactly
we're coexisting right. on this land.
And that would be Irish in this case.
Yes. And I use the word pesky in his point of view, kind
sure.
of. Not that he
sure.
says that, but he treats me like that, and I don't like
yeah.
it. But so then that ensues, and then the pot has wishes in it, and I won't tell you what happens, but there's some wishes made over the pot that changes people's perspective, mm-hmm. even yeah. people's... skin color,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
It's really far-fetched yeah. and far out there, but a really strong tale of acceptance mm-hmm. and redemption and learning about yourselves. But again, this idea that, you know, what I like about it too is, you know, everybody's just trying to find a little bit of hope in this world that we have, you know.
Yeah. There's, and like you said, it touches on so many issues, big and small.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, everybody's after that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, that sense of peace, and, mm-hmm. and we get to see a little bit of, like you said, chaos and conflict in our, you know, our perfect little community here, and by the end, there are some perspectives that change, and we're able to get a little closer, I think, to that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
In legend... I guess I should verbalize it that way.
Yes.
In legend, does this pot of gold have magical qualities, not just for the leprechauns, but for you humans as well?
Definitely. Yeah, it helps him. It helps us in the end. Not the way maybe we want it to, but it sprouts out something even better, which is I find in life that's true. You know, our dreams and wishes are never as good as what really happens, I think, sometimes, if we just wait,
right?
You know, till the end of the rainbow,
right.
You know.
And yeah, I think you go through and you prepare as much as you can. And you have your plans and your hopes and your dreams, and then, you know, but it is life. It is a living, breathing thing, kind of like the theater and the show in a way. You know, we prepare the best we can, and then we go out and we live it in every performance, and it's always going to be the hope, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that it's going to be fresh and new and energized every time, and there's going to be these lovely little slices of life in there that are fun and alive and really help people relate to the story and the characters as they follow their path through the story. So
yeah.
What is your biggest challenge as Woody in this show?
You know, I find with shows like this, it is, you know, 1947 when it premiered, you know, and some of these old shows I find from an acting perspective at face value tend to be easier to address and easier to approach, and it's deceiving that way because you know, you do have to find the honesty and the, you know, the reality of these characters and yet still tell the story and share their story in a way that is you know, appropriate to the director's vision and also to the style of musical as well. You know, it's very much, I think Michael was saying the other, one of our directors, Michael Graham Parkhurst was saying the other day, it is rather like Shakespeare in a way that at face value, it's beautiful, but you really do have to dig a little bit sometimes to find the honesty of the story. Otherwise it can be story, 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 song, story, story, you know, and it can be that simple, but our goal is to make it a little bit deeper and to really, touch people, wouldn't you say, Phil?
Yes.
Stop me if I'm wrong.
No, you're totally right. I mean, and I think it's because it is the way it's written. You know, as an actor, you have to you have to be very mercurial in your intents and emotions. One minute you're totally in love, and the next you're on to something else, and you can't remember what just happened a minute ago
because
you have to move on as the character. Sure. And you know, the audience suspends its disbelief on that. Well, these characters are in a different kind of setting, but at the core, you've got to hit these emotional connections. My love for my daughter, my love for her wanting to find prosperity, my intent that I spy him, that I think he'd be good for my daughter, you know, amongst then dealing with this leprechaun who's trying to get this pot of gold from me. So you're switching hats a little bit emotionally, right. You know.
Not big on my leprechaun lore, but yeah, he loses his powers.
You're not.
He loses his cache of gold.
I think in this version, I mean, I think there's lots of leprechaun lore, and we did some research on it a little bit. I don't know if the leprechaun community will be angry because we didn't flush it out.
Yeah, we'll see if you get any calls in. You know?
I know. I'm teasing. But they were kind of fantastical little, you know, creatures that were mischievous, and they liked to play tricks, you know, much like pixies and fairies and things like that. But what was interesting to me about them is they coexisted with humans. You know, there was no doubt that they existed. It just depended upon what generation embraced them more, you know.
Yeah. So they could be at the station today in disguise.
They could. And the dementia I have, I might see them and you might not.
Well, there you go. Well, give me a couple of years. And
yeah.
Yeah. Are we being incorrect when I called them we people? Am I being politically incorrect?
Well, we people. Yeah, we say the we lad.
Yeah. Well, and part of you know, part of when he gets you know, the crock of gold stolen is he becomes more and more human, and he gets. Don't you have a line where you talk about him being taller than you expected?
Yes. Yes. Like, oh, you can't be a leprechaun. You're too tall. You know. Like.
Always a challenge, I would guess.
Yes, yeah, it would be.
More, of course, you're in Texas, Mississippi. No,
Mississippi.
Mississippi. You're in Mississippi. So, period costuming or anything?
Well, we're set in the 1940s.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's Yeah, if yes.
Yeah, we, I think, you know, the costumer has done a really wonderful job.
Shannon
has really put a lovely touch on everything in the way that she is, you know, found a way to base us in this 1940s, 1950s garb, you know, the high pants and the hat and the vests and all that, but sort of a cross stitching that is not, I just made a clothing pun. Cross stitching that with these lovely vibrant colors for this Missituckee sort of mythical place that we all live in and all inhabit. So it's a very cool thing to try to create that world within color and all that on top of the song and the dance and all that stuff.
Tell us what numbers are yours.
So my big number, I would say, is probably Old Devil Moon, which the duet with Sharon, Elise, Paling, and I suppose other than that, it'd be my big one would be If This Isn't Love. So I get all the lovely, heartfelt, scream it from the rooftop numbers, and then yours, I think,
I don't have more.
There's romance.
I'm telling you, and the best thing I get is I get to be on stage asleep while I listen to Old Devil Moon, and I fall.
He works hard. You know?
I'm telling you, and I'm supposed to wake up in the middle, and I always forget because I'm just enjoying you guys singing. It's so beautiful. Their voices are stunning. But yeah.
You've named some of your cast members. Anyone else you'd like to name?
Yeah, well, what I love about our lovely cast is we sort of have this nice mix of people of all different ages. Sorry, I didn't mean to look at you while I said that.
Thank you a lot. No, I just discovered. I think I'm 30 years older than the youngest cast or the oldest cast member. I'm like, okay,
it's a
community. We have old people.
Yeah, and you have folks that are very, very experienced.
Yes,
like Phil, and then so many people that are sort of working and moving up in the profession, and then you know, you have. You know, the teen performers, Charity, Harris, and Sheridan, and Aggie, and Lillian, who are just work their butts off and are blossoming into these young professionals. And I love that because we all get to work together and all support each other to tell this story. And so I love that about our cast, our community of our cast, I guess I should say.
I hadn't worked with any of the people, and then just to comment to the, and like Olivia Cabrera, she has this amazing voice.
So
oh my gosh, she sings a great number, Necessity in the first act. And then I'd like to give a shout out to two people, please. Sienna, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Radish.
I believe
Radish.
So.
She plays Woody's sister. And what's interesting about this character is she does not speak, and she never had since birth. So she expresses herself through dance. And
beautifully.
Amazing. So there's something in this for everybody, but there's only a few people that can translate what she says, and there's this whole number like, what's she saying?
What's she saying?
Oh, and she's dancing around, and then we get, you know, and she's rather a smart, very, very intelligent character.
Sort of sassy.
Yes. She's a good plot twister. You know, she helps kind of further the magic. And then Gary Green is our musical director. And 13 people singing what should be a 40, not should be, but was a 40-member cast. Yeah. And he has taken this and, you know, the sounds that we're making is pretty incredible, isn't it?
And, you know, he went through and touched on things and helps us polish and put everything together. So he's, you know, magic man. I don't know how he does it. But he's really put together something special along with Andy and Michael.
Yeah.
Show begins in previews. I believe that's what you said. On the 1st.
Yes, that's correct.
But the audience members, if they can't come any other time, they're welcome to come and attend the previews?
Yes, I believe so.
We
sell tickets. And so come.
It'll be for 3 weeks. The show will be going on at the Just Off Broadway Theater. It's a Spinning Tree Theater production. The number to call for more information if you still use phones to make those arrangements. And a lot of people only do things online anymore. I was surprised. I was at a birthday party last night. Most people make their arrangements online anymore. But the phone number is 816-235-6222 or online at SpinningTreeTheater.com, and it's at the Just Off Broadway Theater on the very south side of Pin Valley Park here in Kansas City. It's become the home, I guess, for Spinning Tree Theater these days.
I think so. Yeah,
it sure is. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds but nice. If you lose your way, look to the rainbow.
I was just going to say, just follow the rainbow.
Just follow the rainbow, and you'll find us. Yeah.
And I have to ask. I know we have less than 2 minutes, of course. But
okay.
You worked with George Wendt at the New Theater.
I did.
And it's such a talented family. You have George, who was Norm, the patron on Cheers.
Yes.
His sister, Mrs. Sudeikis, I can't think of her first name, is one of the top travel agents in Kansas City.
Yes.
And his nephew is Jason Sudeikis,
yes.
A well-known comedian.
Yes. I miss George. He always loved my cooking.
Oh, really?
In fact, the other day I made a peach pie and put it on Facebook, and I hadn't heard from George, and he was like, wow, man, miss you. That's what he, like, typed his comment. I'm like,
bet.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I could always get to George.
You must be doing something right.
Here, you know? George, I made this for you, you know.
So you see some of these connections you make in theater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're I couldn't take him for a drink, but I could bake him a pie.
Hey, there you go.
You know?
Well known. And what's coming up next for both of you? Joseph, anything on tap after you finish Finian's Rainbow?
Still got a couple things on the burner. Couple things coming up in the spring. I'll be working with the KC Lyric Opera in the spring.
They have a great season.
Yeah, for their two spring productions, and then a couple other things that I'm working on, and so I'll have to keep you posted.
What about Phil? Anything here in Cincinnati or beyond?
Well, I don't have anything, but I can tell you what I should have been cast in, but I didn't get it. And I'd like to say this right now. I'm teasing. And I would like to say, no, not yet, but I'm looking for work. You know, you never know what's around the corner.
That's true. We laugh, but actors say this to me off the air all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's fun not knowing where your money's coming from.
Is it?
No.
Yes, you never know. Was it? It was Paul Lynn, I believe, on the Johnny Carson show, which is in reruns these days. And yes, I watched them pretty religiously. He said, "It's amazing. I found that it's amazing what I could do when I had to do them to survive."
It's true. I mean, you never know. You never know what comes up, and that is the exciting thing about it. I just kind of these days just let it go. Like, well, it'll happen,
right? And you just. I think I've almost found the key might be to find something that you can sort of pour your passion into when you're not on stage or not preparing for a role. Find something to sustain you, because they do just tend to sort of come out of the woodwork sometimes
They
do, and then just out of nowhere, you never know where the next one's going to come from, like you said, sure. Michael. So.
Well. Thanks, both of you, for being with us. Phil Fiorini, who plays the role of Finnegan. You've seen him at KCAT, Kansas City Actors Theater, at the New Theater, at the Ensemble Theater of Cincinnati, at the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, at the Unicorn in the Whale. I wish we had more time. I'd ask you about preparing for that and all of that. The Addams Family and that 2-year Broadway excursion, or was it longer, of The Lion King?
I did 3.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And Joseph Carr, are you here now? Are you headed back to NYC?
Hopefully soon. I'm here for a while and trying to dig my way into the community. It's a great place, and so it's nice to come home and really invest.
Thank you, both of you, for being here.
Yeah, come see us at Finian's Rainbow.
Finian's Rainbow.
It's going to be a great show.
Opening up in previews, at least, on the 1st. It'll run for 3 weeks at the Just Off Broadway Theater, production of Spinning Tree Theater. You can go online to SpinningTreeTheater.com or call 816-235-6222. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you so much, Michael.
And may you find that crock of gold
at the end of the rainbow.
That's right. We'll take a break. When we return, we're going to hear about one of those brown bag concerts of the of the Westport Center for the Arts. And they're going to tell us all about that and the rest of their season when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. A lot going on. And this week, leading into the Labor Day weekend, there are so many things going on around the area. We touch on as many of them as we can. And one of those things is the new presentation of the Westport Center for the Arts. They are known for those brown bag concerts, which pop up occasionally during the lunchtime, usually here in the Westport area, generally at the church just down the street. This one is going to be an evening brown bag concert. Doesn't really change anything. You still bring your own lunch. hopefully in a brown bag.
There you go.
I guess it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be at all. It is the 10th anniversary of the Brown Bag Concert Series. And with us to tell us all about it is Scott Myers. He is the president of the Westport Center for the Arts. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
10 years you've been doing these concerts.
Well, actually, it's 10 years of the Westport Center for the Arts. You know, the Westport Center for the Arts, we believe that when the community creates art, the arts create community. And we do this through Brown Bag Concerts, Reader's Theater and stage plays, visual arts exhibits, and the Kids Team Up for Art program, where, you know, through all of this, what we're into is uncovering hidden beauty and meaning in the arts in Kansas City. Yeah. So we've been doing this for 10 years, and we're excited.
I'll bet you are. You look like you're excited.
Hey, we are. We feel like we're really we're a small organization, but we feel like we have a huge impact.
10 years, and you operate for the most part. Of course, there was a fire at this church down the street.
There was a fire. I think I knew a little bit about that. Yeah, it was a catastrophic fire.
Yes.
But out of the fire has arisen the phoenix out of the ashes, and Westport has an amazing both church and community facility at 201 Westport Road. And one of the things that's happened there is a lot is Westport Center for the Arts activities.
Yeah, you work out of the – rather than just saying that church down the street, it is the Westport Presbyterian Church at 201 Westport Road.
Yeah.
And that is – but when the fire happened, I won't continue to touch on this all that much, but
okay.
You had a lot of help from other organizations in the area. You had some of your concerts at other people's places as they were filling in. You had some amazing help.
We had a lot of help. You know, the Westport Coffee House helped us continue a film and discussion series. Emmanuel Lutheran Church helped us continue the Brown Bag Concert Series, and also a children's program called Peace Quest. And the Community Christian Church helped out with Peace Quest and the Westport Center for the Arts annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Jazz concert.
Yes, I saw my friend Dean Vivian in something a while back. So you have readings and things like that?
Yeah, we have stage readings. In fact, we, as a part of this anniversary year, we've got one coming up. On November 9th and 10th, we're going to be doing a staged reading of a play by a really great local playwright by the name of Jackie Gafford. Her play is called Dark Was Their Journey, and it's an interesting play that sets the widows of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Medgar Evers in kind of a vacation weekend where they kind of talk with each other and come to terms with their own suffering in losing their husbands to assassination.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to be a staged reading that the Westport Center for the Arts is putting on with some professional actors and a director, and that's in November.
Yeah. Is Jackie doing that with the doing it as a staged reading with the thoughts of developing that into a full-fledged play on down the line?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. You know, Jackie's a really experienced writer and director, playwright and director in Kansas City. She operates out of, I just heard you talking about the Just Off Broadway Theater. You know, she operates out of the Just Off Broadway Theater. Mm-hmm. She did one for us just a little while ago. She directed a real interesting play that a couple of other people wrote called Booth, Is There a Murderer Here? So, you know, we're happy to... She's an example of someone who, you know, we want to celebrate in terms of the arts in Kansas City, her work.
Oh, yeah. She did a one-woman show of what congressional lady?
Actually, that's another thing the Westport Center for the Arts did over at the Bluford Library. We did a stage performance of her one-woman show, The Life and Times of Senator Barbara Jordan.
Yes, Barbara Jordan.
You know, that was fantastic. And that's another play she's written.
Yeah. A lot of things going on. Your event coming up on is it tomorrow?
No, it's not till September 29th.
September 29th, okay.
So yeah.
We have a few weeks yet.
Yeah.
But it's going to be in the evening rather than the afternoon.
There you go. Yeah, we're having a – this is our kind of celebration of the 10th year. And so we're putting two of our arts efforts together on one evening. We're having a Brown Bag concert, an evening one. And we're having a pianist perform. August Antonoff is going to perform a special evening concert of living composers, including Billy Joel's classical compositions. That's at 7 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, we're having the opening night of an exhibit of works from the Kids Team Up for Art program that are in a lot of the public libraries, through the Kansas City Public Library System in Kansas City. This is another program that we've run for almost 10 years where professional artists, two of them, get together with a group of children or teenagers at one of a number of public libraries like Bluford, Plaza, Waldo, Southeast, Ruiz, and the kids get together and create a group work of art under the supervision of a couple of professional artists. And they do this over a couple of hours in the morning or the afternoon at one of these libraries. And those exhibits, we've been collecting them. The libraries have been collecting them and putting them on exhibit in the libraries for a number of years. We're going to bring them all together on that evening as an opening night. And there is a beautiful gallery system, a hanging system at the church now. And we're going to hang these works of art and have an opening night reception at 6 o'clock and have a lot of fun with that before we go into the concert.
Yeah. I have not been in your church since post-fire, but I remember going in there before. I was asked by Etta Marie Carlisle
sure.
to come down. And
sure.
I guess her husband, Tom, has passed away. Has it been
sure. Yes, yes, Tom's passed away.
Yeah. But she was asked. She asked us to come down, and I saw a few things down there. It's a beautiful place. Do you use the sanctuary part, or do you use that large fellowship hall?
So the sanctuary is built for music. There's a beautiful pipe organ in there, and the acoustical engineer essentially built that sanctuary for music, and that's where all of the concerts are. And you know, other professional music organizations in Kansas City have been coming there and doing concerts as well. So that's where that is. The gallery is partly in the sanctuary. It's partly in the large fellowship room and in another area of the church. We have we just had a great exhibit over the past 3 months called the Collected Works of Stanley Bryan Morgan, who is one of Kansas City's top artists. And I think we hung maybe between 35 and 40 of his works in a very professional way. And it was a great success for Stan.
Yeah, you have much more high-profile things than people might realize.
That's what we're working on. Yeah, that's what we're working on.
Yeah, now this pianist that you're having on the 29th, his name is... Maybe you should say it, August Antonoff.
Yeah, there you go.
Special concert featuring the works of living composers, and you mentioned one of them being Billy Joel.
Right.
Does he usually do that sort of thing? Where would they see Mr. Antonoff usually?
I'm not really sure of that. I will tell you that normally our concerts are in the daytime at noon, but we decided to do this one in the evening. I think that he's basically known for doing classical compositions from the 20th and 21st century, and it should be a fun evening.
I'm amazed at the classical people who can do a variety of things. I had a violinist on here one time, and she talked about the different varieties of things. She says, yes, I can do concert violin pieces. I can play fiddle style
uh-huh.
for okay. more of a bluegrass country effect. But they're very versatile in what they can do. Sounds like Mr. Antonoff is as well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's coming up September 29th.
September 29th.
Yeah. So we've broken it down, and let's review now. There is the art component, and it's basically students for the most part.
Yeah, it's children and teens, and we gather them together at the public libraries to put together these artworks.
How do they get to your attention? There might be some out there who say, I would like to be part of one of his shows sometime. What's the process that they would do that to get to your attention and to have you display their work?
I think the important thing is just to get in touch with the local library at this point. Whether it's Bluford, you know, these are community centers of learning. The Bluford Library, the Ruiz Library, the Plaza. I would just get in touch with the library, and then they can get into, they can come over. It's free. They can come over on the Saturdays or the evenings when this program happens and just join in and be part of creating the art.
Yeah. And so how many times a year is the art shown?
Yeah, this is our first exhibit. You know, this is going to be a professionally hung exhibit. So this one's going to be up for about 2 months from the end of September toward the end of November. And, you know, people will be able to come by and look at it, you know, during that time. But the opening night is September 29th with the reception.
And sometimes during the year you mentioned, you'll have staged readings as well. Didn't you do the same show around Christmas time for a couple of years?
For a long time, we used to do Dickens's A Christmas Carol, and then we did a kind of a takeoff on the Garrison Keillor show. We did a Prairie Village Home Companion.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that was fun. And, so at this point, what we're doing with the theater program is that we've sent out a call to playwrights to emerging playwrights in Kansas City, and we're asking them, we're telling them, we've got a budget. Would you like to submit one of your plays for a staged reading with a professional director and professional actresses doing it? And so we've had a pretty nice schedule so far. Last fall, we did a play called Bighorn Secret, which involved some Native American performers. Then I mentioned Booth, Is There a Murderer Here? Just a couple months ago, we did a play by a local playwright named Lindsay Adams called River Like Sin. And then we've got the one coming up. And then we've also scheduled one for June. I don't know the title of it right now, but it's an important local playwright that we've worked with before named Michelle T. Johnson. We may also be doing a play in, we hope, in the spring by a Native American playwright and faculty member out at Haskell University named Diane Rayner. She's written a play that we're going to probably put a stage reading on in the spring.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to contact local playwrights who, you know, want to get a chance to have their work uncovered for people in Kansas City and people who enjoy what they're, you know, doing.
And you've been able to get some of Kansas City's well-known actors to be on the stage. I saw Robert Gibby Brand.
Robert Gibby Brand has been in our plays. Another person who has been in a number of them is Lynn King, who is, you know, fantastic. Walter Coppedge has been in our productions. Harvey Williams from the Just Off Broadway Theater has been in our production. So, yeah, we're happy with some of the people that we've been able to meet and work with.
Oh, you have. And I assume they want to be in your shows because of the quality of the material.
The quality of the material. I think that's basically it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes for an exciting evening for people. The Price is Right, of course, but they have to bring their own brown bag.
Yeah, they got to bring their own bag. Yeah, this will be a brown bag dinner. As opposed to a brown bag lunch.
Sure.
There will be a reception. There's going to be some food there, though, as well. So you don't have to bring. If you don't have any, there'll be some there to eat.
Okay, let's concentrate on this particular one.
August
Antonoff, special concert featuring the work of living composers. You mentioned Billy Joel. Any other little tidbits you can send?
And that's going to be at 7 p.m. Well, some of the other people he's worked with are Carter Pan, Raina Murnack, Matthew Lewis, Till Main, Matthew Saunders, and William Volinger. So I think you can look for a pretty good repertoire of music that evening at 7 o'clock. And again, the reception and the opening of the Kids Team Up for Art exhibit is at 6 o'clock.
But I'm assuming that this is the exception because of the quality of the show. But most of your concerts will be of the brown bag lunchtime variety throughout the year.
Most of them are in the daytime. We have had some evening concerts, and this particular concert is sort of a what you might say a trial balloon for us on seeing whether we could put on some other evening concerts along with the noontime concerts.
Oh, I'm sure you can. I'm sure we can. But I would hate to see the daytime ones go away.
No, they're not going away. There's a whole schedule for the year, and a lot of musicians, good musicians, are coming up.
People from around here, you know, from the bank downstairs, they will say that they get away for a while during the noon hour.
That's great. That's great.
Work its way down there to see what's going on.
That's great. I mean, one of our favorites is the Doug Talley Quartet. You know, they do a great jazz concert on the Monday of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday.
Oh yeah, nothing better than to see a good jazz group.
They're fantastic. Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah,
and they often emphasize African American composers, jazz composers, in their work on that day, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and yours are one of the daytime events, for instance, for the King celebration.
That's right.
That you have going on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things later in the day, and but not too many during the noon.
Yeah, that's a noon hour, and it's always a spirited celebration, and I think the band, you know, they especially appreciate it. You can tell they've got a little extra energy going that day with just the significance of the day and the audience that's coming out to celebrate.
Sure. Well, you've expanded your horizons in the last few years. Where would you, as president of the Westport Center for the Arts, like to see things develop in the
I think the things that we would like to see develop is more stage plays, actual fully staged plays, which are expensive.
Mm, oh, yes.
But that we've done two of them, and we would like to do more. I think we would like to do some more evening concerts, and we're working with the Kansas City Public Library to really grow and enlarge the Kids Team Up for Art program. So those are the three things. Plus, if that isn't enough, we are going to be putting together a call to artists within the next 6 weeks so that we can plan more professional art exhibits in the gallery that's over at Westport Presbyterian Church.
Oh, sure.
So, hey, that's enough right there, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's where we're headed. More stage plays, visual arts exhibits, more enlarging and collaboration with the library on the Kids Team Up for Art program, and maybe some evening concerts to supplement the noontime Brownback concerts.
Yeah, sounds great. Of course, as you said earlier, some things are expensive. How does the Westport Center for the Arts financially support these things going on?
Well, donations. We get some support from the library for the Kids Team Up for Art program. We get foundation grants. We've gotten a nice nice support, increased support this year from the Missouri Arts Council. We get some support from Arts KC. And foundations like the Helen Boylan Foundation, Muriel McBrien Kaufman, the Francis Family Foundation has helped fund Kids Team Up for Art. So, you know, we're a small organization, and you get a lot of bang for your buck with what we do. But those are some of the people that are helping us out. And the church. The church puts in money into it, too, because the church really is a center of spirituality in the arts. And this is an important project that was kind of incubated in the church about 12 years ago before it became its own separate, you know, arts organization.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the church has always been this kind of a center of things in Westport.
Yeah, we like to think of it as both a spiritual community and also a center of community life. So there's a lot going on there all the time in terms of, you know, folk dance groups, other kinds of concerts, support groups, community meetings, you know, a child care center. There's a lot happening there.
It really is. You know, Westport has been known for years as a kind of a late night hotspot.
Right.
With you doing things in the daytime especially, you kind of changed the focus of that. Entertainment goes on in Westport at all times of the
day. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. What about you personally? Were you ever deeply involved in the arts as an artist? Are you mostly a businessman?
Well, you know, I've I took up playwriting about 5 years ago, and I've had two of my plays staged at the Just Off Broadway Theater. One called JFK, A Ghostly Evening, that was done on the anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination. And then I had a play done, performed over there, produced over there last summer called Goat Song, which was a play rooted in the crisis of the Great Recession. So, yeah, so the arts are really important to me. And since I'm a minister, the art of worship is important to me.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It gives you a different perspective, I suppose, on things.
It does. And both the writing of services and the writing of messages is its own art form.
Yeah. You mentioned the Booth play earlier.
Right.
I made a new thing. I assume that that's John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, that was a fascinating play. It's basically the story of Edwin Booth, the most famous actor of his time. His brother was John Wilkes Booth, who assassinated Lincoln, who was also a famous actor at that time. And the play brings out the conflict between the two brothers as a kind of metaphor for the conflict of the Civil War. And we really enjoyed putting that on, and it was quite meaningful, I think, particularly given the conflict in our country today.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, can you imagine if you were in that family? You're a successful actor. Edwin, as well as his father, it's my understanding they were both very well-known.
His father was a famous actor.
Yeah. And John Wilkes probably not quite so much.
No.
And to have their son and their brother assassinate the President of the United States. Did it hurt their careers at all? Do we know?
That is in part what the play, how the play begins. Edwin Booth is essentially finishing a play, and he's there in the theater, and there's a crowd outside that, you know, is not happy about a Booth being in town.
Sure.
And he's having to deal. He didn't support his brother. He was a supporter of ending slavery and supporting the Union cause and the Emancipation Proclamation. So he was very conflicted over this, you know, whole horrible development.
Yeah, an interesting show as well.
It was a good play.
Sure, sure. I want to thank my guests for appearing with me. Scott,
hey, thank you.
Scott Myers, president of the Westport Center for the Arts. We talked about a lot of things, but mostly the 10th anniversary evening brown bag concert featuring pianist August Antonoff, a special concert featuring works of living composers, and also an art exhibit at 6 p.m. The concert then following at 7 p.m. at the Westport Presbyterian Church at 201 Westport Road. Their website, as I have it here, wcakc.org.
Yeah.
For more information. And I guess you're also on Facebook. And
yeah, we
Twitter
got a good Facebook page.
Like
and Twitter, yep.
And all those things that involve
there you go.
You have to get into the modern times.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much for being
here.
Hey,
thank you. Appreciate the time here.
That coming up, that concert at least coming up on September 29th. Thanks so much for being with us. The Jazz Insider is coming up next. He'll have some great jazz for you this afternoon, jazz from 1 to 3. Then Lady D will come in and we'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.